the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast. This is Andrew and Don. And if you're listening on the website or the radio or just in iTunes, welcome. What we kind of like to do is pick a topic each week. And we've got our Bibles open and we just kind of go back and forth and discuss what God's Word says about it. And so we've covered all sorts of stuff. And if this is your first time listening, you can always go back and listen to them. The topic that we want to talk about today is forgiveness. And it's kind of interesting because this Sunday was kind of a heavy Sunday. We were preaching in Matthew 5 where Jesus talks about anger and murder and that idea of, you know, if someone has something against you, to leave and go and be reconciled. And it was about forgiveness. And then in staff meeting, Don and I were saying, well, we're going to record a podcast. Any ideas? And one of the ladies said, well, do something about forgiveness, because someone asked me, you know, if someone keeps hurting me and sinning against me, do I just keep forgiving them over and over and over again? Like, when does it stop, kind of thing? I think this is a huge topic. Because the reality is we all have hurts, we all hurt each other. So what is the biblical command or precedent when it comes to forgiveness? So we've got some ideas and some passages. It's funny because, Don, we both picked the same kind of passage, Matthew 18, which Jesus talks a lot about forgiveness and actually gives a parable about forgiveness. But I don't know, Don, why don't you start? I'm just going to throw you at it. Tell me, like, as far as forgiveness goes, I don't know, maybe we'll just walk through Matthew 18. But like, what? Let's say a person listening is a follower of Jesus. What do you do with forgiveness? Like, is there a set thing that Jesus says, this is what you do? How do we do this? I don't know. I'll just kind of let you get the ball rolling a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think before the ball is rolling, let's say a quick prayer.
Good idea.
Dear God, as we talk about forgiveness, like Andrew said, this is a huge topic. This is a huge area where a lot of us really struggle with forgiving our brothers and sisters, with dealing with past hurts and getting over those things. So we're looking for your wisdom and direction as we talk about this. And someone could gain a bit of help here to look at forgiving people. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we were looking at Matthew, and I know the Matthew 18 verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and he asked, Lord, how many times do I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Peter, I think he was going with a number that he thought, like, that's going way beyond necessary. So Jesus answers and says, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. So basically unlimited. Jesus gives a parable after that. So just to kind of summarize it, there's a man who owes a king just an astronomical amount of money, and the king wants repayment. And he says, if you don't pay it, you and everything you have are going to jail and you're going to pay for it. And so this guy asks Jesus or the king for mercy, and the king decides to let him go, let his debt go. He doesn't have to pay it back. And so this guy goes out, he's free. And he finds somebody that owes him a little bit of money. And he demands that this guy pay it back. He grabs him by the throat, I think it says. And this guy asks for mercy. He says, just give me more time. And this guy says, no way. You're going to jail. You're going to go there and you're going to pay for this debt. And so the other servants heard this going on and they were deeply distressed. They go back to the king and explain what just happened. And the king comes back and says, I forgave you millions and you couldn't let a couple $100 go? Like, and then it gets pretty serious at the end. He calls him a wicked servant. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? So in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Then it says, this is Jesus talking, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. So
wow,
yeah, it's like a serious situation that when we do refuse to forgive as Jesus forgave, there's serious consequences to that. I mean, it kind of shows that you haven't understood what Jesus has done, the debt that's been forgiven. Yeah. Interesting to me, though, too, like someone in the thick of this forgiveness thing who's been hurt or has maybe had to keep forgiving somebody and that whole struggle, like, what do they do? Do they keep forgiving? And I would say, yes, they do. And we're going to look at, you know, some of the reasons why we do that. But I think in Matthew 18, verse 15, it also says there, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you, if he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And it says if that doesn't work, you're actually supposed to take it to the church. So I think that helps somebody who's in the thick of trying to forgive somebody. Like, they want to forgive, but do we allow this person to keep hurting? And it seems there's something that person can do as well, that there are, we do acknowledge this hurt that's going on. And it says if your brother sins, so that means somebody who knows about, who is a follower of Christ,
yeah,
that this person also needs to be helped and held accountable all the while you're forgiving that person.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something that can be done,
yeah,
but it's tough.
Yeah, like this is one of my favorite parables that Jesus tells, Matthew 18. That kind of that, the whole from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. It's one of my favorite passages. And I love, yeah, that Peter comes and, because I've preached on it a couple times too, like the standard Jewish Pharisee teaching was you had to forgive someone three times. That was kind of the, and then literally it was after that, you're off the hook, you don't have to forgive them. So it's funny that Peter says, like, how often will my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? Like seven? So Peter's doubling it and adding one, basically, thinking, because Peter was Jewish, so he would have known, well, they say it's only three, but he says seven. And then Jesus says, yeah, 77, or some translation 70 times seven, so 490 times. And again, we can't put, like, well, literally, so once I get 489, we can't do that. Jesus is giving that idea of unlimited, you just forgive them. And then it's amazing, this parable is just so good, because like Don said, like the first servant, astronomical, Jesus uses, 10,000 talents, and one talent was 20 years labor. So if you imagine, if you're a laborer, you work on a construction site, what you would make in 20 years' time, that's one talent. And Jesus says, this is 10,000 of those. So just astronomical. And then, yeah, the king says, well, don't worry about it completely. You don't even have to pay it back. And then he goes out and the guy finds a guy that owes him a couple thousand bucks or whatever it is, and like chokes him out and won't give. And it's just such an amazing picture of like my own heart, because I do that all the time, that I go, I can't forgive that person. You don't know what they did to me. Da, da, da. So the real hard teaching is, followers of Jesus, we are called to forgive people like unlimited times. There isn't a set number and then, okay, well now, or there isn't a set thing that we go, well, I can't forgive you for that. Like, followers of Jesus, that's hard to hear, but I think Jesus is kind of setting the bar saying, no, you don't keep record, you don't keep a number, you just forgive. And like Don said, for someone, like if you're listening and you're in the thick of it, that's not really comforting. It's not comforting to hear, okay, well, I just have to forgive them. And I think it's beautiful that, like Don said, before Jesus tells this parable, he also lays out, I think, practical things so that if someone is continuing over and over and over to sin against you, it's almost like you've got some help, basically, yeah, in the church. It's like, okay, you don't have to do this alone. Take some people with you, mm-hmm, and say, hey, you keep doing this over and over, and if they won't listen, then take them to the church. And so I don't think Christians are called to be doormats where we just kind of, mm-hmm, hey, do whatever you want to me, like, yeah, walk all over me. we are called to forgive, but then Jesus kind of lays this out for us and saying, hey, there's a process. If someone is continually sinning against you, take some friends with you and confront them on the issue. And if, again, they won't listen, take the church with, like, so it's both, I think. There's a process that Jesus gives to help us deal with people that are sinning against us, but then also there's a very tough call for followers of Jesus to extend forgiveness. I don't know, because Jesus clearly in this parable first kind of paints the picture of God forgiving all of us. I don't know, Don, you had some other passages too, but I think to say, yes, you have to forgive everyone is impossible without the gospel. Yeah. And so, I don't know, you have some passages that clearly show, okay, here's how much you've been forgiven. And I think you have to start there before you go, okay, I have to forgive you. I think we all need to go, okay, and kind of remind ourselves, this is how much I've been forgiven. So I don't know, why don't you share what you got there?
Yeah, like often we hear the verses later in Colossians and Ephesians, like Ephesians 4:32 said, you know, forgive as Christ has forgiven you. And in Colossians, in 3, verses 12, going from there, it says, therefore, as God chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So it says, forgive whatever grievance you have. But yeah, I think sometimes we quote that verse, but we don't go back to Colossians 1 where Paul has, you know, clearly laid out why that's, you know, why he would command us to do that and how we can do it. So in Colossians 1, just want to read a few verses from 9 to 15. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then later it says in verse 21, once you were alienated from God, were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And that is huge. Like when we stand before God in Christ, he sees us as holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. And I could replay the last few days and say, I'm, you know, free from accusation.
Yeah.
And that is, it's mind-blowing, basically.
Yeah.
And later on, just a couple more in chapter 2, where'd it go? When you were, chapter 2, verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, Christ made you alive with Christ, or God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's basically the millions we were talking about in that parable that Jesus said, that's all clear. Like when I stand before God, none of these sins will ever be brought before the court of God. And so when we look at our brother and sister who sinned against us the couple hundred dollars, we have to look back at Christ and go like, wow, what he has done, like how could I do anything less?
Yeah.
And when we forget that, when we only look at the offense in front of us, then like we lose sight of that and then we go off the trail. But to remember what, and then even Andrew and I were talking, like Jesus on the cross, he got nailed to the cross, he got beat, spit on, rejected by his Father. And then he looks at the people doing this to him and says, Father, forgive them. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And even Stephen, a follower of Jesus in Acts 7, as he's being stoned for his faith, he goes, forgive these guys.
Yeah.
Don't hold it against them. Like, incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even it came up on Sunday, like in 1 Peter, it says, when he was reviled, speaking of Jesus, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten.
Yeah.
And then you look at...
I think what's important there, too, is that he entrusted himself yep. to his Heavenly Father. I think that's a yep. huge thing, that if you're going to do this, make a decision to forgive, that it has to be entrusted to God, because without him,
yeah,
it's going to be impossible.
Yeah, exactly. But just that attitude that you go, Jesus suffered the worst brutal humiliation and ever, and yeah, that was his response, yeah. Father, forgive them. And even the same kind of thing is laid out in Ephesians, you know, in 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And we can read that and we can go, okay, yeah, Jesus forgives me, so I have to forgive others. But then to like, you flip back to Ephesians 2 and it describes like what you're forgiven from. And it says, you know, you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, so dead. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So that's kind of our condition. The Bible talks that we're all sinners. Even Romans says, you know, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. So I totally agree with you, Don. Like to say Ephesians 4:2, forgive one another, without understanding and looking at the cross, like you can't do it. I really don't think you can. And I think maybe we can give lip service. Yes, I forgive you. And even I love that in Matthew, the end in Matthew 18, it says, if you do not forgive your brother, right? He tells the parable, my heavenly Father will do this to you if you do not forgive your brother. And then he says, from your heart. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, yes, I forgive you, lip service. It's like, no, I'm actually forgiving you. A deep thing in my heart, I'm forgiving you. I honestly don't think that can happen without the gospel. Because you go, how? How could that happen? Because without the gospel, if I take my eyes off the cross, well, then yeah, that jerk deserves my anger and my wrath because he did so-and-so or what against me.
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, Andrew, center yourself on the cross. Oh, okay. So why did Jesus go to the cross? Because of my sin, because I was dead in my trap. Okay. And it's almost like a centering.
Yeah.
Okay, good reminder. I don't know, Don, what about the phrase, and we hear it lots, forgive and forget? What do you think? What do you think about that?
I think that's bogus. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you a personal example in not just a few years back. And while I was in my carpentry business, someone pulled a fast one on me and he was claimed to be a believer. And we had been working long enough that we did verbal agreements. We didn't write it on paper. And on one of my last jobs with him, he pulled a fast one kind of behind my back. And it cost me $1,400.
Whew.
And at first I'm going like, what happened there? And then I just began to think about it. And the more I thought about it, I knew that he had pulled the fast one. And he avoided me for quite a while after that. So I knew he knew.
Yep.
And I guess my right, I could have said, hey, you did this, but I just felt convicted that I needed to forgive him.
Wow.
And so I'm fully aware of what he did, so I didn't forget.
Right.
But I think what I learned through that, which was, I think God taught me through that process, was that I chose to forgive him, and what I did choose to do by doing that was that in the court, I would never bring this thing up in the court for him to be charged on that. I freed him from that.
Hmm.
All the while, I didn't forget what he did. And when I meet him, I say hi. I say, how's it going?
Yeah, so
and I don't pretend that it didn't happen, but at the same time, I have no ill feelings towards him because I guess did what Jesus did and trusted that to God.
Sure.
He has to deal with knowing that he took advantage of me, and he has to deal with, oh, do I talk to Dawn or do I run again? Or
yeah.
So he's kind of the one in turmoil. I'm free, even though it did cost. So
it's not like, yeah, so you haven't forgotten about it, but it's not like when you see him, it's like, hey, you remember that?
Yeah.
Because you've
now it's hard at first. I mean, there's that temptation to bring it up.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about it. But no, I really don't want to. I want you to pay. I want you to feel some shame and all that. And so, yeah, knowing what happened and then, you know, refusing to be, I don't know, enslaved by bitterness or demanding repayment or demanding that, because that would have been a big kerfuffle too.
Yeah.
So I just, in that moment, God, I think, taught me a lesson that how to forgive, like, and it showed what God did toward me as well. Like, I choose not to bring this incident into the courtroom to demand payment. I freed him from that, forgave him.
Yeah.
I know what he did. I know it hurt. But then I think too, when I think some lustful thoughts or some of the things I did in the past, and that God will never bring this up to the courtroom.
Say that verse in Psalm 130 that you said before we started about him not remembering. While he flips there, I'll kind of say,
we better read it just so we're not.
Yeah, not paraphrasing. I think it said, but yeah, forgive and forget is not biblical. And I don't think followers of Jesus are called to, well, you know, this horrendous thing happened to you, but just forget about it. That's just not possible. But I heard someone, I can't remember if it was in a book or a sermon I listened to, but the guy said, forgiveness is not forgiving and forgetting, but, and I think, Dawn, your example kind of showed it, forgiveness is, so when I forgive someone who's wronged me, I treat them as if they had never done that. So it's not like I go up to them every time and go, I forgive you, but remember how you did that? It's just, I remember it, and maybe you'll have a hurt from it and a scar from it, but it's treating that person, if you are forgiving someone, it's treating that person as if they hadn't done that. So that's kind of a good definition, I think. Why don't you read in the Psalms what it says?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite verses in Psalm 130. It says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. So, I mean, I look in my life, I go, if God kept a record of Don Bannon and his sins, like it says, who could stand? I couldn't. I wouldn't even try
to plead my case
before God. Well, you see, no, it wouldn't even work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the psalmist says, but with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. That's just really interesting to me that what he sees, that our record has been cleared, should cause us to fear God and honor him because we're free.
Yeah, and I think, too, to remind ourselves, like the Ephesians, yes, we were, we were forgiven and our sin was forgiven, but I know daily I am being forgiven. Like 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, I think that's a reoccurring thing. Mm-hmm. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So it's even that idea of, yes, I was forgiven, but it's like daily, weekly, I am being forgiven and I sin and I fall on my knees and I say, God, I confess my sin. Would you forgive me? And he is faithful and he is just and he cleanses me. And then I go, but I can't forgive that person over there. Mm-hmm. That's where it's a gut check for me, where I go, well, then, man, if I can't forgive that person, then I have no right to go on my knees and say, hey, but God, can you forgive me? Like, it's almost like this hypocritical way that we work. Like, God will forgive me, but that offense that guy did to me is unforgivable. It's like, it's again, like we say, without the gospel, without looking at the cross, I think it's impossible to actually do this.
Yeah, and you can get into deep waters here. I mean, I know people personally that have been hurt horribly by parents, by abuse and other, you know, very serious things. And people ask, like, is that possible to forgive? Is that, you know, I can never forgive for that, you know, life scars. But I know I just read a testimony in a book of a young lady who was abused by her father and became a believer, and she was asked by God to forgive him. And she at first said, well, there's no way. Hmm. But she asked God, can you help me forgive him? Like, if you can help me, I want to release him. I want to forgive him. And over some time, she was actually able to say, I forgive you.
Wow.
To his face. And it was, you know, it was a huge impact on him too, because he thought, I'm useless. Like, I'm going straight to hell because of what I've done. And to have his daughter say, I forgive you, was huge. But she said it was only possible through Jesus, his transforming work in her life. And so we know, Andrew and I know, that there's issues here that you could say, oh, this, you don't have any idea what I've been through. And yes, we understand.
Yeah.
But even in this, that example, by crying out to Christ and asking him to help, she was able to forgive, you know, horrible things.
Yeah.
And she asked God to free him from that. All the while, she knows what the hurt was and all that. It wasn't that she forgot.
Yeah.
But,
And I think too, to stress that I don't think this, for some people it can be a like instant, sure, I forgive you. But I don't think, and I could be wrong, I don't think God is telling us to, you know, as soon as the offense happens, forgive him right away. Like, I think that's what's key in Matthew 18, from your heart.
Yeah.
And that might take months of like this girl saying, God, I really don't want to forgive him, but can you help me?
Yeah.
And however long that takes, I think to make sure that you're hearing, we're not saying make light of what happened to you and just whatever, be breezy and just forgive them. No, I think for some it might take years to get to that. But then also it's amazing that I think Jesus is telling us that this, because of the incredible freedom that comes from that. Even like we talked, it's all kind of the theme lately, because we talked about anger and forgiveness on Sunday. And, you know, it was very heavy, asking for forgiveness, confessing, repenting. And I was just asking God, like, how do I end this service? Because it's so heavy. And it was just, you know, yes, it's probably very hard. Not probably. It is very hard to forgive people. But I think the reason that Jesus commands us to do that is because the freedom that comes from it, that we're not walking around with a bitter, hard heart, with unforgiveness, with resentment. Like, Jesus wants to release us from that so that we are flourishing and we are, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but we're free from that kind of stuff that we can hold on to. So, yes, on one hand, it's super hard to forgive people, especially, let's say, they keep doing the same thing and you're like, seriously? Like, you did the same thing again? But then the freedom that comes when you can actually forgive them as Christ forgave you, I think then you're walking in victory, really. And that's what Jesus wants from us to. I mean, that's what John 10 says, I've come that they may have life and life to the full. I think this is part of it. Like, Jesus wants to give us the fullest possible life, and you can't say that you have a full life if you are full of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness towards someone. I think you're robbing yourself. I don't know. Any final thoughts there? I think that's good. We're almost at half an hour. And like me and Don were talking about it before, and I know that if you are in the midst of something, this can sound very trite. Well, just forgive them. And that's not really what we wanted. And we went into it saying, this is, might sound like that to some people. And if you want to talk to someone and have help work through some of this stuff. But we also said, well, we don't want to shy away from, I mean, Jesus pretty clearly tells us we are called to forgive, as hard as that is. And I mean, when you're walking through it, it's a lot harder than when you're not. Like, I remember when we, you know, talking about divorce, And I met with a guy who's in the thick of that. And I told him, it's really easy for me to sit here and say, well, you can only divorce if sexual immorality, that's what Jesus says, and da, da, da. That's a lot easier than the guy who's in the muck of it. And I think the same with forgiveness. If you are in just the midst of it, it's going to be hard. But I would say to you, you got to gaze at the cross and look at Jesus and how he's forgiven you and remind yourself of the gospel. And I think that's the only way that you're going to be able to actually forgive people as Jesus forgave you.
Yeah. And then, yeah, maybe one encouragement is to include the body of Christ in in dealing with all that. I think that also came out in Matthew 18, that you don't have to do that alone, that you should come to the body and there should be support to deal with both sides of that story.
Yep, absolutely. Well, again, hope this has been helpful for you, and we will talk to you next week.